Good morning. I want to tell Mike that he did a good job of announcements this morning, and I think that before long you will be as good as James and as David and as Daryl, and you're already head and shoulders above Ricky. Not physically, but I mean, you know. No, you did a fine job. I want to ask you a real quick question. Have you ever had anything about yourself that you didn't like that you tried to change? And maybe that you did change. Now, I am not talking to wives about changing their husbands, and I'm not talking about husbands trying to change their wives, okay? But have you ever had anything about yourself that you didn't like and you tried to change? You know, there's one thing I don't like about myself. I'm more full-figured than I wish I was. And I would like to change that. I haven't been successful yet. But Lord willing, maybe one of these days I will. I have had things in my past. If you're sitting in Bible class this morning, you know at least one of those things that I had about myself that I wanted to change. Maybe it's giving up smoking or giving up bad language or giving up lying or, you know, being deceitful or something like that. And have you been successful? Well, that kind of goes along with our lesson this morning, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And it's just one verse, but it's a real important verse. Do not be conformed to this world, Paul wrote, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, if you do what Paul commands here in this passage, you'll end up with a wonderful life. You know, the difference between people who have had transformed lives is very evident to the folks that are around them. But, you know, because of wrong attitudes and wrong practices for so long, it's awfully hard to transform our lives. And I guarantee you, if you want to transform your life, the way that Paul writes here, you can't do it all by yourself. You've got to have the grace and mercy of our loving Father in order to make the necessary changes. You know, He's given us so much. He allowed His one and only Son to die on the cross for our sins. He's given us His Word, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so not only that we can read what we're supposed to do, but we can actually do what we're supposed to do. We're given the gospel, which is the life and the teachings of Jesus Christ, so that we might be able to follow in the footsteps of Him. You know, and if we do these things, then we're given every spiritual blessing, which includes having our prayers answered and given the spiritual strength to be able to change our lives from one of sin into a saint. God has designed each of us through our faith and obedience that we have to accept what He's done for us through Jesus. By letting God guide us through His Word, we can make those little adjustments on the front end so that our lives will change. Through our union with Jesus, we can look at His life and we can see how we can come to be more like Him. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." You know, this whole idea behind transforming means that we become a new creature, a new creation. In 1 Peter 1, Peter wrote, "Since you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever." So we're supposed to have changed lives. From the time before we became a Christian until now, there ought to be some evidence of it. And even after we become Christians, there ought to be little bitty, they might be incremental, steps seen in our lives, but we ought to be changing every day. Let's look at this lesson in two parts. First, there are two warnings in this verse. One positive, one negative. And I want to begin with the negative one. It says, do not be conformed to this world. Now, what does that mean? Well, basically it means we know what society is and what society and culture is like. It says, I don't want you, Paul wrote, to be like your society or your culture. You need to be different. Peter used this verse, a word in this chapter 1, verse 14 of his first letter. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance. You know, this warning, do not be conformed to this world, is a caution for Christians not to allow ourselves to get crammed into the mold that society or culture has for us. You know, when we come to understand Jesus, we need to understand His values and His morality and His standards are different from the world. You know, the world sees one thing, and Jesus, the Bible, God, sees another thing, and we need to be more like Jesus, God, the Bible, than the world. Jesus said, he who's not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters abroad. So we're either for Jesus, if you will, or we're again Jesus. Paul had the same thing in mind when he wrote in 2 Corinthians 6, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I'll receive you. I'll be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. You know, to those of us who have become Christian, it's terrible to look out there and see how some people act, and some people talk, and some people do. You know, because as they bow and they scrape after the idols of this world. Now I say the idols of this world. What are some of those? Well, the Bible describes some of them as being gamblers, as drinkers, people that are profane, those that are involved in sexual immorality and all kinds of dishonesty. You know, James wrote in 4:4 of his book, and he starts out very much an exclamation. He says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. There are two different things here. If you want to be a friend of the world, you've made God your enemy. Of course, the opposite is also true. You know, the danger of conforming to the world's pattern is seen in Paul's letter to the church at Colossae. In chapter 3, verses 5 through 10, put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So, we're not supposed to conform to the world, but the second warning is positive. We're supposed to be transformed. You know, this comes from a Greek word which means to change in a positive way. The word, the English word metamorphosis, and I'll get back to that in just a minute, comes from this same Greek word. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word like this was used in Matthew chapter 7. You remember when Jesus went up on top of the mountain, and it says, he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. Jesus was transfigured. He was transformed before those that were gathered there on top of that mountain. Now, I told you I'd get back to it. A metamorphosis happens when a caterpillar changes into a butterfly. You know, that caterpillar spins a cocoon, and then lives inside it for a number of weeks. I don't know exactly how long. I guess it depends on the variety or the type of butterfly or caterpillar that he is, and eventually comes out of that cocoon tremendously changed. And when you see that beautiful butterfly, really you don't remember that ugly old caterpillar, do you? You know, with God's help, you know, our lives can change as dramatically as that of that caterpillar into that butterfly. You know, we all start off sinners, but eventually we become Christians. We come out of that cocoon and we're able to be all that we can be. Paul describes this conversion process in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 6 and verse 12. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Here in this passage, Paul emphasizes this newness of life. And that newness of life comes with being united with Jesus. You know, there are two or three other passages, I'll hit on a couple here, that talk about it. Paul said, and he recounts this in Acts chapter 26, that they're turned from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. And then he wrote to the church at Thessalonica, "You turned from God to idols to serve the living and true God, to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come." So that's the difference in this passage, these two warnings, between being conformed to the world or being transformed by the gospel, by Jesus Christ. But so what's this transformation that's supposed to take place? Transformation doesn't happen all of a sudden, and it's not mysterious. There are a lot of people think that the Holy Spirit comes along and does some sort of a direct action on your heart and that you change overnight. But this passage says that our lives are transformed by the renewing of your mind. Like it or not, you are what you think. And that's the way the wise man Solomon in Proverbs 23:7 said, he said, "As he thinks in his heart, so is he." So we're transformed by what we think about. Or maybe we're not transformed. We conform to the world by what we think about. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, Paul wrote, "Put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." You know, it says here in this passage, we can either stay in our sins, in our corruption, or we can be transformed into true righteousness and holiness as God expects. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, "We all with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." You know, we're transformed into Jesus Himself by reading about His life in the Gospels, by reading about His teachings in the Gospels, by devoting ourselves to meditation, and by praying about such things. After all, if what you think about is what you are, and you spend all your time thinking about what's on TV or on your telephone or the internet or a magazine or a book, then you're going to become like that. This passage says that if we look into a mirror and we see Jesus' face, we're going to become like Him. Now I imagine most of us, especially us adults, used a mirror this morning. I'm not absolutely positive, but I imagine we did. I looked in a mirror this morning and I noticed Well, I always brush my teeth. I don't think there was any green stuff in between them. You know, I noticed I needed to shave, so I shaved this morning, washed my face. And then I ran a brush through my hair to make sure my hair was straight. I've never put on makeup, but I imagine some of you ladies looked in a mirror and you noticed, well, you know, I washed it all off last night. I got to put some on this morning. I got to style my hair so that I look good. Okay, that's looking at a mirror to see what we look like. We look at Jesus and we see how He was and is. And the longer we look at His face, the more we want to be like Him. You know, we do this and we renew our minds. You know, we become more like Him as we live. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 says, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." You know, I mentioned this verse 3 or 4 weeks ago, I can't remember. One of the hardest things that I think any of us will ever do, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. I've already read these. "Do not lie to one another, since you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him." We need to be less like ourselves, the world, our society, and more like Jesus Christ, who helped God to create the world and everything that's in it. You know, as we read through the rest of the New Testaments, we're studying the book of Acts. You know, we read about those folks in the book of Acts, in Corinthians, in Romans, and we see those New Testament Christians that started out just like we were. You know, we were sinners on our way to death and to hell. But we changed. We became Christians. We were converted. We repented of our sins. We're baptized. Our sins were washed away. And we become new people, just like those folks in the New Testament. You know, Paul wrote two letters to the church at Corinth, 1 and 2 Corinthians. And those people there, they had a real hard time. That's the reason Paul had to write two books. You know, they were in sin so deeply that they did come out, but he had to get on to them for falling back into it again. You know, I say shortcomings. We all got our shortcomings. Those folks in the Bible did too. You know, I can imagine that there were some Christians that could have traveled with Paul. We knew that Luke was one of them, and we know that Silas was. And they looked at Paul and they saw that he was hanging around with all these sinners. All the horrible things that they were associated with. One of them was waiting on the Lord's Supper table. One of them was leading singing. One of them was leading an opening and a closing prayer. Paul, how in the world can you hang around with folks like that? Paul could simply say, well, hey, you used to be the same way. And every one of us here is the same way. See, you might not think that your guilt or your sin was as bad as some of the descriptions we read in the New Testament of those folks that were involved in these horrible things. But every little sin that we commit drives that spike into Jesus' hand just a little bit more. Every sin we commit, whether big or large, takes Jesus to the cross. We have to be forgiven of those sins. You know, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, they were washed, they were sanctified, they were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. You know, the saints at the church at Rome were good examples of those folks that had been changed from sinner to saint, from evil to good. And Paul wrote, "God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." Now look back at this passage one more time. It's just two verses, but there are three little bitty two-word phrases in it. He said, you were this way. He said, you obeyed this, the law that He brought. You became this. And that's the same way it is with us. We used to be, we were that, but we became Christians, and now we're going to become something greater than we ever could have imagined while we were in sin. You know, we all need to remember that transformation is not an end. You know, it's a means to an end. There's not a single one of us that is as good as he or she could be. We can take little bitty steps. Maybe one day it's only a couple inches. Maybe one day it's two steps back before you take one step forward. That's where those shortcomings come in. We're all sinners. But if we keep making those little baby steps every day, not only are we going to become more pleasing to God, but hey, we might be able to reach out and touch someone who needs to be touched. If you're not a child of God and you need to come and put on Jesus, the waters of baptism, or if you've been having trouble in your transformation and you need help, God will help you. Your brothers and sisters here, we'd love to be able to help you. If you need to respond, won't you come while we stand and sing?